The war against Christianity is heating up.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform.
We document cases of conservatives saying that they've been censored on social media by tech giants.
The gospel of Jesus Christ always does well in the marketplace of ideas, but what happens when elitists try to block it from being heard at all?
We've had YouTube videos mysteriously get pulled from our YouTube channel.
We will look at the new censorship of Christians and what to do about it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Censorship of Christian content is not new. Several of the New Testament manuscripts were written in prison as the Apostle Paul was in chains for the gospel. But in today's high-tech world, major corporations are using their considerable power to try to silence Christian truth and squelch the gospel. This is particularly true when it comes to sex and gender issues, where the far left has established an LGBT orthodoxy virtually overnight and enforces it with totalitarian zeal and rigidity. Reaching out in love to those struggling with same-sex attraction and gender confusion is now being classified as hate speech and is being banned on the internet. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
A lot of multinational corporations are very powerful, wealthy, and they dominate certain aspects of the media. YouTube dominates, Vimeo dominates, Facebook dominates. So they're sort of quasi-governmental organizations in terms of their influence and control and power.
Either admit you're a left-wing forum, in which case, what can we do? But don't, they're dissembling before the public by saying we're an open forum.
They are regulating what ideas make their way to the public square. And I mean, if you regulate what comes in, you have a greater control about what comes out.
Here in Silicon Valley, the left-leaning gatekeepers of the tech industry and of the internet monopolies consider Christian and conservative views worthy of censorship. Why is this so dangerous? The fact is that for those under 40, often the internet is virtually the main means of communication and of commerce.
I'm concerned for the reason that it seems to be very liberal censorship, but I'm also just concerned from a monopoly standpoint. That's why we had the Sherman Antitrust Act. That's why we have government regulation to ensure fair competition.
This problem has gotten so bad that recently the White House held a social media summit, and the Department of Justice has announced it will be investigating Facebook and Google for potential antitrust violations. Meanwhile, censorship by big tech is happening to various ministries and conservative groups, such as Live Action.
Live Action is a pro-life organization leading the social media movement for our country, exposing the truth about abortion, about what's happening to the preborn child, and advocating for the rights of the defenseless.
Recently, the seemingly innocent website Pinterest has now been caught blocking the pro-life messages of Lila Rose of Live Action.
Well, we've definitely seen some challenges over the years working with Google, working with Facebook. We've had YouTube videos mysteriously get pulled from our YouTube channel, and there have been complaints associated with them. So YouTube says we're checking those out. So we've actually had to have our lawyers send YouTube letters asking them to cease and desist censoring the videos. So that's been problematic.
Another example of big tech blocking conservative and Christian speech is in the demonetization, at least temporarily, of Steven Crowder, an internet sensation, using the tagline, "Louder with Crowder." Crowder takes this social media censorship to heart.
This is a hill I'm willing to die on.
Much of the stranglehold of Christian content on social media is done by those who claim they are fighting so-called hate speech. Here's a recent example of what this often really means. The late Dr. Joseph Nicolosi of California was a counselor who specialized in helping people with unwanted same-sex attractions work through those issues. Well, we interviewed him for this ministry back in the 1990s.
We have many men today who are happily married, who were once gay. And this throws a monkey wrench into the whole gay agenda.
But today, YouTube is censoring his videos, and now Amazon refuses to sell his books, thus cutting off hope and help for those who do want to change.
The gay community, out of their view that it's harmful to leave homosexuality, says basically no one should be allowed to. It's just like Hotel California, the Eagles song. You can check out, but you can never leave.
Too often, the big tech companies rely on the hopelessly flawed research of the Southern Poverty Law Center to define what hate is. But that law center lumps in genuine Christian ministries with genuine hate groups as if they are one and the same.
It is not coming from government. It is coming from the private sphere, which is in a certain sense even scarier because they have no excuse. Why would Apple give $1 million to the Southern Poverty Law Center? I mean, think about that, which is a hate group. It's a left-wing hate group.
Critics note that in the social media censorship of today, the left is not trying to win the debate. They're trying to shut it down.
It used to be that you and I could have a debate and we could say, well, I disagree with you, and here's why. Now, if I do that, they say that's a microaggression. That confronting someone with facts is a microaggression. That their opinion, to attack their opinion because it's stupid or it's ill-informed, is considered a microaggression or makes them feel bad. You know, you can't bring facts into the debate. Well, that's intellectual suicide. That's just an intellectual frontal lobotomy. And we just cannot put up with it as a society because we'll end up all talking gibberish.
That's a danger because if you have people who do not feel like they have access to express themselves and have a civil dialogue, I don't think there's no room in a republic like ours for threats and, you know, and violence. But speech and ideas should be freely flowing in our republic.
The major purveyors of information in our day are clamping down on messages that they don't like. And they get away with it by falsely labeling it as hate. Later in this program, we'll share a resource with you that will help you to winsomely counter that claim in daily conversation. But nobody saw the game that the left was playing here better than the founder of this ministry, Dr. D. James Kennedy. And I'm joined now by my very good friend and his daughter, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad was not in the least surprised about the coming harassment of Christians, was he?
No, you're exactly right. And he also knew what the solution was as well. Growing up, it was a delight to see the many people in the church that appreciated my dad's messages and his hard work to get the truth out. But I also saw him wrongly reviled as a bigot and a hater by those who hate God's word. As his daughter, knowing he didn't have a hateful bone in his body, it troubled me to see that. But my dad took it all in stride because he knew the charges were false and he knew that he had the God of truth on his side. He wasn't surprised to face hostility from unbelievers because that's something Christians have experienced from the beginning. And he also had an answer for them. Here's more from my dad's classic message, The War Against Christianity.
We live in an age, I am happy to say, in an age which stands four square against bigotry and prejudice. Unless that bigotry is directed against Christians, Christ, or Christianity. Today, the only group which you can hold up to public mockery and pillaring are Christians, even Christ, the spotless and holy Christ, the loving and compassionate Christ, the only perfect and pure person ever to grace this planet, is himself held up to unbelievable and savage mockery. My friends, we're talking today about the age-long war against Christianity, a war which has sometimes been cold and sometimes hot. And I want you to know that it's heating up again in America. As Jesus himself said, that the world would hate us. And why? He said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me first. The world hates Jesus Christ, which is undoubtedly got to be the most astonishing fact in history. Here is a world sunk in its sin, in rebellion against God, deep in every form of anti-moral, anti-God behavior, already condemned by God in his mind. Ye are condemned already, said Christ. And into this world of condemned rebels, the Son of God came on a mission of mercy. The harmless, sinless, holy Son of God, loving and compassionately came to live the perfect life that we have all failed to do and to die an atoning death in our stead, taking upon himself all of the vileness of our sins and becoming sin for us and then being held up between heaven and earth upon a cross where the wrath of his own Father is poured out upon him in our place. And he dies in our stead and purchases for us eternal life, which freely, mirabile dictu, wonder to tell, freely he offers to every last one of us, sinful sons of sinful fathers, the gift of eternal life, if we will but trust in him. And for this anguish, this agony, this trouble of coming into this dark world, he receives, he is requited with hatred. That is astonishing. His only purpose was that we should live happily ever after. And for that, we gave him our hatred. The world, the scripture says, the world is at enmity with God. If they hate you, know that they hated me first. They hated him without cause. And wonderful to tell, he loved us without cause. The Bible says that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Have you been persecuted for your faith in Christ? I don't mean for your ornery disposition, for your critical attitude, for your backbiting tongue, but have you been persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ? I remember a lady who told me about a minister she knew up north, and she said she'd known him for a great many years. She said, in all of those years, I never heard one person speak ill of him. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's tragic. Jesus Christ said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. For so spake they of the false prophets before you. If your preacher isn't being persecuted, and he's not preaching the truth, and standing for Christ, because he will experience that. But we can rejoice, and we can love our enemies, and we can use the gospel to transform them into part of the body of Christ, to part of His church. That's what we can do as the war against Christianity heats up again in our time.
Just like death and taxes, opposition to the truth is inevitable. Earlier, we showed you how that opposition is causing massive internet censorship of Christian and conservative ideas. Whether you spend a lot of time on the internet or no time at all, the internet is today's equivalent to the old public square. More than half of the entire global population is now online, including 90% of American adults. What happens there is vitally important. The Media Research Center has been monitoring leftward media bias for years, and they recently issued a special report on how major tech companies are suppressing conservative and Christian speech. I sat down with the MRC's Katie Yoder to take a closer look at this censorship. Katie, we're delighted to have you, and all of us want to express our great appreciation for the Media Research Center and the great work that it does, because we have an internet landscape dominated by nearly monopolistic technology companies who control a vast portion of the flow of information and speech on social media platforms, and they're not always very honest about that control, are they?
For many years, decades, the Media Research Center has tracked the media and traditional media, which is also important. We actually have a Christian genocide report out that came out a couple years ago about how the media, the three broadcast networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, refused to call the Christian persecution that's happening abroad as genocide.
Genocide.
Yeah. So we've documented that. But, you know, now instead of just only focusing on media, it's becoming clearer and clearer that we also need to pay attention to what social media is doing, what the tech giants are doing out there to expand that, because that's where so many people today, so many Americans, millions, even billions, get their news from. So we need to pay attention to that, and that's where our latest censorship report comes out. It came out this summer, and we document cases of conservatives saying that they've been censored on social media by tech giants. And we put that out, and some of the big names in there are Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube, which is a part of Google, to kind of put the word out there about that.
Yeah. Now, these technology companies are arguing that they are not under the public accommodation responsibilities of the Civil Rights Act. In other words, if you run a hotel, you cannot refuse to provide service to people of all kinds of race, ethnic background, whatever it might be. The telephone companies can't deny service to you to get, you know, for your cell phone or your landline or whatever it might be, internet access. All of these things require public accommodation. But so far, the social media landscape has said, no, we're not in the public we're a private platform. But as you've alluded to, a higher and higher percentage of the news consumption of people is through social media, so it looks pretty much like a public platform, doesn't it?
Right. And this is very concerning, too, because as Americans are becoming more aware of this, and they need to become more and more aware of this, they need to realize what's happening here and pay attention to this. But a lot of Americans aren't, and so the Media Research Center is calling for three different things. We're calling for transparency. We want to figure out what the rules are put out by these organizations. What makes them determine who's allowed, who's not? How do they come up with that? And then diversity, and by that I mean political diversity. Are conservatives welcome to the table? Can they have a dialogue with these tech companies? And we're grateful to the tech companies that have spoken with us, but that dialogue needs to increase. And we also want to encourage these companies to promote free speech. Our country very much values that. That's a huge ideal. So we really want to encourage that. We want these tech giants to acknowledge that and follow that. And we're not seeing that happening in these cases. So we really want to encourage that, even though, you know, they aren't regulated right now. They should want to live up to these standards. They should want the trust of the American people on this.
The most successful tactic that the left and their gatekeepers in the media have used to censor and marginalize Christians is to falsely label us as hateful. We know that it's an untruthful and slanderous charge, but do you know how to respond to it? Would your children or grandchildren know how to answer that accusation and defend their faith on a high school or college campus? So vitally important is the need to be able to engage the culture on questions like this that we have developed a unique new resource to equip you to stand for truth and to do it winsomely and persuasively, no matter where you are. It's the concise new book, Why Do You Believe That? Answering Hard Questions in an Age of Political Correctness. And we would like to send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to help us continue the key work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Why Do You Believe That? Features a foreword from radio talk show host Janet Parshall, one of the best defenders of the Christian faith in the marketplace of ideas today. And it lays out common arguments and claims on both sides of some of our culture's most controversial topics and gives biblically informed answers. Among the questions this book will equip you to answer are, does the Bible teach socialism? Are Christians haters? And what does the Bible teach about immigration? As well as many, many more. It unfolds the most common arguments made by each side of the debate and then gives the factual biblical answers, ones that will settle the question. If your child or grandchild is heading to school this fall, you will absolutely want to make sure they have a copy of Why Do You Believe That? As they face questions and challenges about the Christian view on homosexuality, gender identity, and a host of other issues. Are they prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within them, as the Apostle Peter commands? Are you? I really believe that this short apologetics handbook needs to be in the hands of every believer, and we will send it to you right away as our thanks for your generous donation. Your donation helps us to produce and air programs like this on hot-button issues from a biblical perspective, as well as fighting for religious freedom in the courts, producing top-quality Christian books, videos, and web content, and much more. Please stand with us today and receive a copy of Why Do You Believe That? Answering Hard Questions in an Age of Political Correctness. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. Amazon.com, the world's largest bookseller, recently removed books by Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, a Christian clinical psychologist who championed so-called conversion therapy for bringing people out of the homosexual lifestyle. Even the suggestion that such a thing is possible causes the gatekeepers of today's politically correct orthodoxy to take to the fainting couch. Yet at the same time, Amazon curiously continues to sell the works of Adolf Hitler, Karl Marx, and Joseph Goebbels. Of course, many faithful Christians might quibble with the specifics of conversion therapy as an effective way of dealing with homosexuality. But make no mistake about this, Amazon's actions are an attack on the transformative power of the gospel itself. You see, in Amazon's leftist worldview, sexual orientation is forever fixed at birth, though they can show no genetic or scientific basis for such a claim. Yet paradoxically, these same people argue that gender is ever-changing and fluid, despite the fact that science has proven that sex is unchangeably rooted in our chromosomes. They manage to get it precisely backwards in their through-the-looking-glass world of fantasy and jabberwocky. But the Word of God is clear on this subject. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, these are arresting words, to say the least. But Paul goes on to say, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Amazon and the other gatekeepers who want to silence this glorious truth will fail, as do all who attempt to suppress the Bible. As our Lord Himself assures us, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
What has happened? Where did I go wrong? How could my child have so completely turned his back on what I taught him when he was just a little boy? Well, he has learned well from his teachers in school.
In my view, religious freedom is more at risk today than it has been, certainly in my lifetime.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.